Very much for that wonderful message and song. And Matt just sang about heaven. And it was just this past November, my dad, he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was promoted to heaven. He passed away on Halloween of this past year. And heaven is just as real as the pews that you're sitting on. And I looked at my mom at that funeral. I said, you will hug his body one day again. And if you're here tonight and you know the Lord, heaven is where you are going to spend eternity. But maybe you're here and maybe you're not 100% sure where you go when you die. What's going to happen to you after you die? Some people think, well, you just are annihilated, or you just go into the ground and that's all there is. There are others believe you go to some place and redo the wrong things that you've done in life, pay for your sin, get out, and go to heaven. And there's a lot of different concepts about it, but if you really want to find the truth, I would ask the person who made heaven, and that's God. And the Scripture says that God doesn't lie to us, and He has communicated to us in the Word exactly about this place, heaven, and what it takes to get in there. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, my Father's house, there are many mansions, there are many rooms. And so heaven is a place. It is a real place. Heaven is a prepared place. But it is a prepared place for prepared people. And I trust as we look at some of the Scriptures tonight that maybe the Word of God will open up your eyes, that you would see the truth. The Bible says in John chapter 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. It's all about what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. Would you look at Romans chapter 3? If you have your Bible with you tonight, Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read just a few verses, and then we're going to pray, and I'll ask the Lord to help us during our time together. In Romans chapter 3, you're going to begin a reading in verse 20. God inspired these words. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And God has sent forth to be a propitiation or a substitute through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Father, thank You for the time that we have tonight. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we open up Your Word, as we look at some of the truths that You give to us here, that, Father, that somehow tonight You would crowd out the distractions of the day. Lord, that somehow tonight You would allow Your truth to run swiftly. Would Your Word impact every heart that is in the room? And Father, would You confront us with the truth that can set us free? Father, I pray the light of the gospel would shine into hearts tonight and You would draw people to Yourself to be saved. Would You convict of sin, righteousness, and of judgment and show us why we need Jesus Christ? Thank You so much for this wonderful, glorious message of the gospel. Thank You in advance for what You'll do. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, what you don't know can hurt you? You know what the reality is? What you don't know can hurt you and probably will. There was a man that went to a Chinese buffet and he went up to the Chinese buffet 4 and 5 times with huge plates of food and just consumed just an incredible amount of food. And after he had his fill, they gave him the little fortune cookie at the end of the meal and he opened it up and the fortune cookie said, that wasn't chicken. What you don't know can hurt you, and probably will. It was on a routine United Airlines flight in 1989, July 19, that turned out anything to be routine. During the middle of the flight, the plane had some complications. They lost their tail engine, their ability to steer. And for those of us old enough in the room, we can remember the scenes, July 19th of 1989, as United Air Flights 232 went down and crash-landed in Sioux City, Iowa. And we can remember some of the scenes of that plane caught on fire as many people lost their lives. But you realize for years we never knew what happened to that plane. But you know what? Now, more than 30 years later, we do know, or around 30 years later, we do know what happened to United Airlines Flight 232. There was a small crack in the titanium fan hub that went unnoticed and unchecked through six inspections over 20 years. In the middle of the flight, that little small crack in the titanium fan hub began to receive stress. The crack grew bigger and bigger, severing the titanium fan hub, sending shrapnel through the air, cutting the hydraulic lines, and really the rest is history because of that. And the hydraulic fluid everywhere caught on fire, an engine failure, an inability to use the hydraulics and to be able to steer the plane. And really, from those complications, the plane crashed, and out of 296 passengers, 111 of them passed out into eternity and lost their lives. You know, if we could go in a time machine and go back to Chicago O'Hare Airport and we would stand at the gate and as people would walk up and hand their ticket to get on the plane, imagine if we were armed with the information of knowing there was something wrong with the plane and a conversation went something like this. Listen, there is something wrong with the plane. There's a crack in the titanium fan hub and it's going to explode. The plane is going to go down. If you get on this plane, you have roughly a 50-50 chance of survival. How many of those people you think would get on that plane? If someone were to tell you that, there is no way you would get on that plane because we don't like those odds. But you know what? That what they didn't know cost them. My friend, I would have you to consider really just three facts about eternity and really how you can get to heaven tonight that if you don't know, it can cost you. I want you to see fact number one is really man's condition, that all men are sinners. Would you look back at Romans chapter 3? Would you look at verse 23? The Bible simply says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know what the simple fact is here tonight? That every single person here tonight, including this preacher, all of us are sinners. You say, well, preacher, what is a sinner? Well, it's somebody who has sinned. Well, what is sin? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says in 1 John 3:4 that sin is the transgression of the law. That word transgress means to trespass. In other words, there's some certain lines that God has drawn in our hearts that we should never cross, and when we do, we become a sinner. Sin is when we break God's law, and the Scripture calls that trespassing or crossing a line. A young boy, 15 years old, was backpacking in the woods, and he found himself in a part of the woods he was not familiar with. And so he kind of looked up at the sky to kind of, as he came to a fork in the road, to kind of figure out which way he needed to go to get back home. And this fork in the road, the pathway to the left was well traveled. It was broad. It looked like there had been hikers on that pathway just in the last 10, 20, 30 minutes. The pathway to the right was covered over with leaves. There were cobwebs. It said, "Danger, beware, no trespassing." Looked like nobody had been on that trail for days or even months. Well, a terrible storm was moving in, and he knew better to be out into the woods during a storm like that, and a clap of thunder reminded him of the urgency he needed to get home, but the direction he needed to go was toward the right. But there was that sign that said, "Danger, beware, no trespassing." And so, you know, against better judgment, he realized he needed to get home. He didn't have much time. The direction to the right is where he needed to go, so he decided to take the pathway to the right and stepped right past that sign that said, "Danger, beware, no trespassing." As soon as he stepped past that sign, he became a trespasser. Well, about 30 feet down that pathway, he found out exactly why that sign was there. Underneath that mountain were mining shafts that had become unstable, and the mining company had abandoned that mountain and posted all of those warning signs to keep people off the mountain. He took one step and a huge sinkhole opened up, dropped him 30 feet down, and he broke his leg. Unable to go anywhere into the mining shaft because of all the loose debris that collapsed along with that sinkhole and a broken leg, he was literally trapped. Fortunately, his dad worked for the rescue and response team that operated in that area for the fire department. And the dad came home. This terrible storm had moved in. There were tornado warnings, and he knew that his son knew it was not home, and he knew better. He knew that his son knew better to be out in a storm like that.
So he went up to his son's room. He grabbed the shirt that his son had worn the day before. He let his hunting dogs catch the scent, and he released the hunting dogs into the woods, jumped on his four-wheeler where he was looking for his only son. About 30 minutes later, those dogs had pinpointed exactly where that sinkhole was. The father drove up on his four-wheeler. He saw his son that was trapped at the bottom of this sinkhole in the mining shaft. He put on some climbing equipment, tied himself off, and he rappelled down into that mining shaft 30 feet down. He grabbed his son, who was unable to walk, and deliver himself. And using the winch on his four-wheeler, and as he was tied off to it, and his incredible upper body strength, he carried his son 30 feet up and rescued him out of that mining shaft. You know, for that young man, he decided to go down a pathway that at the end, even though there were warnings, at the end there was an incredible danger. And if it wasn't for someone that was going to seek for him and search for him and rescue him, he would have lost his life. My friend, when the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you know what God is saying to us? Number one, about man's condition, that all of us in this room, we all have chosen at times, and we may not be proud of it, but we've all chosen to break God's law and to go down a pathway God says we never should have crossed. And at the end of the pathway of sin is incredible danger. It's suffering the wrath of God for the rest of time. But praise God, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. And when Jesus left the glories of heaven over 2,000 years ago, he was coming to die on a cross, literally to search and to seek for you so that you can be saved, your sin can be forgiven, and you can have a place in heaven. You know what? All of us are sinners. We've all broken God's law. You know what? As I travel the country, I have people tell me all the time, they say, preacher, I know I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person. And you may think, you know what? I'm a good person. Surely God will let me into heaven. Would you take a little exam today, really tonight, to see if you're really a good person? Sin is when we transgress the law. And you might be familiar with the law of the Old Testament, or specifically the Ten Commandments. Well, you think you're a good person? Take a little exam and compare yourself to the Ten Commandments. What about commandment number 9? The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. Hey, have you ever lied? Hey, have you ever shaved the truth to put yourself into a better light than you really were? You know, a half-truth is a whole lie. You know what a lot of young people do? Is that maybe they're not allowed to go to Joe's house. So they go to Frank's house for 5 minutes. Then they go to Joe's house for 5 hours. They come home and their mom says, hey, where have you been this afternoon? And you say, oh, you know what? I went to Frank's house. Yeah, you went there for 5 minutes. But you left out part of the truth you knew would get you in trouble. And you know the fact is, a half-truth is always a whole lie. But have you ever lied? Maybe somebody in this room, you've been dishonest even in the last couple weeks. Well, come on, Ron. Which one of us in this room hasn't ever told a lie? Well, you just admitted you were a liar. You broke commandment number 9. What about commandment number 8? The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Have you ever stolen something? You've never stolen anything? Come on, he just admitted you're a liar. Surely you've stolen something. Oh, well, you know, maybe a dollar out of my dad's wallet, or, you know, or a dollar out of my mom's purse. You know, irrespective of your age or what the value was, that still makes you a thief. Maybe you have something right now in your possession that doesn't rightfully belong to you. Come on, Ron, which one of us hasn't ever taken something? Well, you just admitted that you broke commandment number 8. What about commandment number 7? The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You say, oh, hey, Ron, you know what? I'm good on that one. Are you really? Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, if you look on a woman to lust after, you have committed adultery with her already in your heart. Have you ever looked on someone with lust? Maybe there are some here tonight. You did that online just this past week. You know what? You broke commandment number 7. You became an adulterer at heart. What about commandment number 6? Thou shalt not kill. Okay, I'm really good on this one, right? We're never ever tempted to break that commandment unless our kids disobey. No, I'm just kidding. We would never do that. You say, you know what, Ron, I've never done that. But again, Jesus said that if you are angry in your heart, that is murder in the making, and it's just as sinful in the eyes of God. Have you ever been angry with someone? Maybe you've been angry the last couple of weeks. Well, come on, Ron. Which one of us at some point in life have never been angry? Well, you just admitted that you broke that commandment. What about commandment number 5? Honor your father and your mother. You know what? Honoring your mom and dad is not just doing the right action, but it's doing it with the right attitude. When you were growing up, maybe you're an adult now, and when you were growing up, did you always do the right action with the right attitude? Anybody who does not believe that we are sinners have never worked in a church nursery during a long-winded preacher. There could be like just 2 kids in the nursery and 100 toys, and they fight over one. Mine, mine, mine. It breaks. Yours, yours, yours. You know, they do a pretty good job, don't they? Hey, as a kid, did you always obey and honor your mom and dad and do the right action with the right attitude? What about commandment number 3? The Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord will not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain. It's a double negative. In other words, it means God says you won't be innocent. Have you ever used God's name and reduced it to a 4-letter curse word to express anger, frustration, or disgust? Did you ever get upset or excited and use the words, oh my, and use God's name? Or maybe you got angry and he said the words Jesus Christ, or you texted OMG. Oh my God. It's called blasphemy. It's a very serious sin in the sight of God. Have you ever reduced God's name to just like a 4-letter curse word to express anger, frustration, and disgust? You say, come on, Ron, this is ridiculous. Come on, there is nobody that could ever live life, come on, without one time telling a lie. Nobody could ever live life without one time stealing. Nobody could ever live life without one time lusting, or maybe without one time getting angry. That's ridiculous. Nobody could ever live life always obeying their mom and dad, doing the right action with the right attitude. Nobody could ever live life without breaking one of those, and that's the point tonight. That even here tonight, by your own admission, you are a lying, thieving, murderous, disobedient, adultering, blasphemer at heart. And the last time I checked, that's not a good person. And do you really think you're going to get to heaven and you're going to say, hey, you know what, God, I know that I lusted after other people and I stole and I lied and I broke your law over and over and over again. You know what? But really, I'm a good person. I mean, imagine if you only sin 3 times a day. Now, that may be an improvement for some people in the room. I don't know. I may do that by 9 a.m. But let's say you only sin 3 times a day. At the end of 1 year, you have committed somewhere around 1,000 sins. A little over that. If you live to be 70, you'll have committed over 70,000 sins. Could you imagine breaking 70,000 laws and going to a judge in a court here in Chicago and say, hey, you know what, judge, I know I broke 70,000 laws, but really I'm a good person. You think that judge is going to let you off? Now, if you're in New Hampshire, you may have a shot. But, you know, no way he's not gonna let you off. You know what he's going to do? If he's a good judge, he's going to prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law. And do you really think, you know what, that you're going to engage your flesh to the hilt, live however you want, get to heaven, and God is just going to overlook all those things? You know what? The first thing you need to know about eternity is man's condition, that all of us are sinners, including this preacher. We've all have done some things that we wish we never would have done. And you know that I'm shooting it straight tonight. We've all made some wrong choices. We've all broken God's law egregiously over and over and over. Notice number 1, man's condition, that we're all sinners. But number 2, I want you to see man's condemnation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's Romans 3:23. All of us come short. We say, you know what, Ron, I don't sin a lot. You know, I'll be really good. My good works will outweigh my bad. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is able to do enough good works in order to get into heaven. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. You know what? You go to work and can you imagine your employer not giving you your bi-monthly check or your monthly check? Oh, hey, thanks a lot for working, and that was it. Imagine if he didn't pay you for 3 months. You'd walk in your boss's office and say, hey, listen, I've been coming to work every day for the last 3 months, but I haven't been paid. You know what? You would have a right to have a grievance there because, you know what, you work for your employer. You know what a wage is? It's something that you earn. You know what God says according to Romans 6:23, all of us deserve and all of us earn? For the wages of sin is death. It's talking about eternal death in a place called hell. To really be penalized for our sin and to pay for it by dying and going to an awful place called hell. You know what sin does? First of all, sin excludes people from a place called heaven. Sin excludes people from a place called heaven. Revelation chapter 21, at the end of time, I want you to listen what God has to say because he's talking about people who won't be in heaven. He says this, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Have you ever lied? You better listen. God's talking about you. He said, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And you know what God is saying? You know, a lot of times we think, yeah, murderers and abominable people there and people that have done all these wicked things, yeah, they probably deserve to die and go to hell. But you know what he says? All liars in verse 8. Listen, God made heaven. Don't you think he knows what it takes to get in there? And you know what he's saying? One sin is enough on your record that'll cancel out every good thing you've ever done. One sin is enough to exclude you from this place called heaven. A number of years ago, I traveled with a ministry called The War. And we would go to public high schools and invite kids to come out, and we would have a 3-day competition for teenagers. We'd have this big ball. It was 4 feet tall, 4 feet wide. We would use it to compete in volleyball and basketball. I mean, this ball was so big, it would attack Shaq back. I mean, the thing was huge. And we would play big ball volleyball and big ball basketball. We had a spoke tackle, America's Roughest Race. Almost anything goes in the race. You can tackle, trip, push, shove, body check, takedown, necktie, clothesline. You can half Nelson, you can full Nelson, you can Willie Nelson for all I care. I mean, almost anything goes in the race, you know. And so the guys went with guys, and we didn't let the guys go with the girls because we didn't want the guys to get hurt, you know. And we also had this tug of war over a thigh deep mud pit. We would dig this mud pit down about 2 to 3 feet and put the mud back in or dirt back in and stir it up. We would stir it up thick, just like a Wendy's Frosty. I mean, we would lose everything in this mud pit. Socks, shoes, junior high kids. I mean, it was great, man. And on one particular day, we were at this 3-day competition. Or let's just say that you've had some kids that were there that evening. And you know what they all say? Oh, man, I'm going to go through the mud pit if my team loses. Man, liars. They're all like little girls. They all scream and ditch the rope. But let's say that one of your sons goes in through the mud pit, and he had some faithful friends that said, you know what, we're not going to ditch it either. We'll go through with you. And they just go through, and you're covered from head to toe. Or your kids are covered from head to toe. And in fact, this happened one night. There was a captain of the high school football team. He went to the back of the line. He tied the rope around his waist. And one of the guys working that night says, hey, man, he said, you shouldn't do that. He says, our team hasn't lost all week. We're not going to lose tonight. He didn't realize that there were 60 new kids from the high school that had come that night that had not been there all week. And so his team started to lose, and his entire team ditched the rope. Now there's 150 kids on this side. There's one kid on this side with a rope tied around his waist. And this is amazing to me. I don't know how this happens. There's got to be a scientific name for this. But all 150 kids on this side of the rope had the same thought at the same time without even saying a word. We're taking that dude for a ride. They started to run. This captain of the high school football team. He was a lineman. He hit the ground. He was doing 55 miles an hour right towards that mud pit. It's like he hit a bump right in front of it, went in the air, went underneath the mud pit. They dragged him underwater, the mud pit. He popped out the other side like a beached whale. I mean, he was like a Hershey's Kiss with eyeballs, just totally covered in this mud. But let's say that happened to one of your kids, and after the activity, they're all coming home to your house. And let's just say you installed brand new white carpet in your house that day. You're probably going to greet your kids at the end of the driveway with a shotgun. You're saying, man, no way you're coming in here. You know what you're going to say? Hey, listen, there's a hose around back. Go out back, wash off all that stuff. And then when you get clean, then come in. Listen, you know that's what you would do with your house, would you not? Why would God not do the same? And every time you sin, you are slapping the mud of sin all over you. Every time you lie, or you curse, or you take God's name in vain, or you look at pornography, and you lust after others, you are slapping the mud of sin all over you. Do you really think that you're going to get to heaven, and God doesn't let any sin into heaven, but He's going to make an exception for you? You know what He says? Hey, I want you to come in, but you got to get clean. And He provided a way through His Son that every wicked thing you've ever done could be washed away. But our sin excludes us from a place called heaven. But our sin also sends us to a place called hell. The Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the wages of sin is death. You know what, my friend? Every time you sin, there's a price. Hell is just as real as the pews you're sitting on. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus warned fools in danger of hell fire. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, fear Him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus looked at a wicked city and He says, and thou, Capernaum, shall be brought down to hell. And in Matthew 16, Jesus referred to the gates of hell. If there was anybody who ever believed in hell, it was Jesus Christ. In fact, out of the 12 times you read the words hellfire, 11 of them were spoken by Jesus Christ. Out of the 25 times you read eternal destruction, eternal punishment, eternal habitation, you realize that out of 25 times in the Bible, 19 of them were spoken by Jesus Christ. You have 264 chapters in the New Testament that you may have with you tonight. Do you realize out of 264 chapters, 230 of them teach the doctrine of eternal punishment? You know what the point is tonight? My friend, there is a heaven to be gained and there is a hell to be shunned. And they are just as real as the pews that you are sitting on tonight. You will spend eternity in one of those places. And because of our sin, you know what? It excludes us from going to a place called heaven. God doesn't let sin into heaven. And if you die in that sinful condition, you will be excluded from heaven and have to go to this awful place called hell. A lot of times people ask me, Ron, what kind of a loving God would create a place called hell? I told the folks on Sunday, that's a great question. But you know what a better question is? What kind of a loving God wouldn't provide a way out? And He did. We've seen man's condition. Every single one of you, you're a sinner, and you have broken God's law over and over, and you know you've done some wicked things you wish you never would have done. And you are going to pay a price for that. We're all going to stand before God one day, and you're going to pay a price. But here's the good news. We've seen man's condition, man's condemnation, but number three, man's cleansing. There's a way that you can be forgiven. And your record could be expunged. Wouldn't it be great if there was a story in the Bible where someone just said, hey, ask the preacher, what do I need to do to be saved? And then the preacher told him, then you would know for sure. There is a story like that in the Bible. We don't even know the man's name. It's in Acts chapter 16. He worked at a jail. He fell down in front of two preachers, and the Bible says he was trembling. That means God was dealing with him about his sin. God was all over him, and He was convicting him, and he knew that he had done some wicked, some terrible things. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And listen to what the Bible says. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I want you to notice really two things about the word believe, and I'll be done. Notice, number one, the object of the word believe. Notice He didn't say, hey, believe on being a good person. That's good enough to get you to heaven. Oh, hey, believe on praying through the rosary. That's good enough to get you to heaven. Or believe on going to church. Or believe on being baptized. Or believe on giving money to the church. No, it didn't say any of those things. It said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, the amount of your faith is not the issue. The object is. In fact, in Romans chapter 3, listen to what God said. He said about this matter of our unrighteousness. He said, therefore, in verse 20, by the deeds of the law shall there no flesh be justified in his sight. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Not being baptized, not going to church. Listen, you don't get to heaven based on what you can do. You get to heaven based on what Jesus Christ has already done for you. And in this passage of Scripture, he says he was your propitiation. In other words, he was your, that word just means substitute. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was taking your place and my place, and he was paying the punishment for every time you lied, or you stole, or you cursed, or you lusted. He was paying the price so that you can be forgiven and you can have a place in heaven and you can have a relationship with him. You can have great faith in being baptized and die lost and go to hell. You can have great faith in going to church and die lost and go to hell. You can have great faith in walking an aisle, praying a prayer, or giving money in the offering plate and die lost and go to hell. The amount of your faith is not the issue, the object is. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the second thing, once you use the operation, how do I believe? How do you do that? Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever, that's anybody in this room, regardless of your ethnicity, which side of the tracks you came from, how much money you have, how much money you don't have, it doesn't matter. It says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word call means to depend. Years ago, there was a man named Blondin. He was a tightrope walker. And they challenged Blondin to walk across the Niagara Falls. He accepted the challenge and they set a date on the calendar. That day came and all the media gathered there at Niagara Falls because this man, tightrope walker Blondin, was going to walk across Niagara Falls. As Blondin showed up there, he asked everybody, how many of you believe tonight that I could walk across Niagara Falls? And the crowd erupted. In fact, there was one fan of Blondin in the front. He said, Blondin, you're the best tightrope walker that's ever been. We know that you can do it. Blondin grabbed his balance stick and he walked over to the edge of Niagara Falls and he grabbed that balance beam and putting one foot in front of the other, he walked across Niagara Falls and the crowd erupted. Blondin came back to the crowd. He says, how many of you believe tonight that I can take a man on my shoulders and walk across Niagara Falls? The crowd erupted in cheers. In fact, the man in the front, he said, Blondin, you're the best that's ever been. We know you can do it. And Blondin looked down at that man. He says, I want you to get on my shoulders now. The man put his head down, disappeared to the back of the crowd. Do you really believe? No. There was one man who did get on Blondin's shoulders, his own business manager. He got on his shoulders, Blondin grabbed that balance beam once again, and putting one foot in front of the other, teetering and tottering to either side, he made it all the way across Niagara Falls. You know what, that business manager, there was nothing he could do in order to get to the other side. He didn't have any skill. He didn't have anything he was adding to the equation. He simply had to trust and the Blondin's ability to get him to the other side. Listen, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what salvation is? When you get on the shoulders of Jesus Christ and you place your confidence and dependence upon his ability to get you to the other side. It's only one man that ever walked this planet, never one time sinned. He was already punished by God. He was perfect, didn't deserve to be punished, but he took your place. He's already paid the price, and he has the ability to forgive you and to cleanse you. And you know what the question is tonight? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with the only person who could take your brokenness and fix your life? What are you going to do with the only man that can wash your sin away, Jesus Christ. Would you come to Him tonight in all your depression? Or what are you going to do with the only person that can take your guilt and your anxiety and your despair and forgive you of all of your sin? And you can have a relationship with God. He loved you so much that He died for you. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's only one man that can fix your life. We don't get to heaven based on what we can do. Nobody is justified by the deeds of the law. It's not based on our performance, but on the performance of Jesus Christ. And when He died on the cross, He said, "It's finished." Everything you needed for eternal life has been done. And the Scripture says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Not your baptism, not your good works. It's through Jesus Christ. And right now tonight, He wants to offer you right here, right now, that gift of eternal life. Tonight, won't you just receive that? You try to live in life your way. How's it working for you? There's a better way. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." I accepted the Lord as my Savior, and I turned to Him and depended on what He only could do to wash my sin away as a 9-year-old boy. And I tell you, as we buried my dad in November, there is a blessed assurance I will see Him again, and it's all through the power of one man, Jesus Christ. We have a blessed hope. Heaven is real. It's a place. It's a prepared place. But it's a prepared place for prepared people. And if you were to die right now and to breathe your last, where would you go? Are you 100% you're prepared? Boy, you can be tonight. Stop running from Jesus Christ and run to Him tonight. Man's condition, man's condemnation, but praise God, man's cleansing. What you don't know can hurt you and will, but Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Would you run to Jesus Christ tonight? Would you stand quietly as we pray?